Welcome to All the Buzz, presented by Spotlight Magazine. I'm your host, Sydney Sadick, and we are so excited to be your brand new go-to podcast. Welcome to All the Buzz, where we go into the lives of some of our favorite stars and personalities. I'm Sydney Sadick. I'm your host. I'm the founder, editor-in-chief, and publisher of Spotlight Magazine, and now your storyteller on this podcast. I am so excited about our inaugural guest on this show, Dylan Lauren, you guys. Entrepreneur, founder of Dylan's Candy Bar, the daughter of Ralph Lauren. I mean, she is just such a name and such a force in her own right. I have looked up to her for so many years to have a sustainable business, to make it through COVID, to then keep growing and evolving. Like, this is the definition of a girl boss and someone who also has amazing style. I mean, her dad is Ralph. She grew up in the fashion industry. So how cool is that? Just, you know, looking into this episode, it's really special for me because this is our very first cover star that we are going to have for the 2024 season of Spotlight Hamptons. Our Memorial Day issue is always the kickoff of the Hampton summer season. We have a major party every year, and to be able to partner with Dylan this summer is just so sweet. No pun intended. Okay, a little bit of a pun intended. And I'm just really excited. I love candy so much. She doesn't know this, or maybe she does. I don't know. But I actually had the very first birthday party at Dylan's Candy Bar when I was like 8 years old, when Dylan's opened in New York City. And I remember it so well. The place just like reeked in a good way of candy. And I'm such a candy and sugaraholic that it was just, I don't know, so memorable. And like, I can still smell the scent of her store, which unfortunately closed on 3rd Avenue right now. But I'm just really excited to speak with her about entrepreneurship and candy, and also just how amazing it is that she did not follow into the footsteps of her family. A huge, obviously, family who's made such a mark on American fashion and beyond. And she went and did something totally different. And as somebody who grew up with parents who are very known in their fields, I always felt like I didn't want to be known for what they've already done. I wanted to start something myself. And I think it can sometimes, you know, be frustrating if someone doesn't know you and they just know of where you came from and assume that things all came together just because of your family. And that is not the case of what happened for me. And I know that's not the case for Dylan either. So never forget that you are your own leader, that you are the only person who knows your story and your business. And it is so important to follow your dreams and not the dreams of anybody else. So let's get talking about sweets and so much more. Without further ado, our very first guest of All the Buzz, Dylan Lauren. Hi, Dylan.
Hi, thanks for that nice introduction.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here with you, surrounded by so much color and candy. Like, you really just have this whole sweet thing about you, and not like a fake sweet, like a sugar-free, like it's real sugar.
I am candy. I live and breathe it, and I eat it, and I love looking at it, and it's just so beautiful to me. Like, I look at it, and I'm seeing color, and it just makes me happy.
Yeah, it makes me really happy, too. I feel like I have to tell you a fun fact before we get into this, please. Because I've been like hinting to
you. Yes, I'm dying to know. What is this?
Okay, that I have something to tell you. And when I told your publicist, she was like so excited.
Okay.
So when Dylan's Candy Bar opened, I was 7 years old. Okay.
Okay.
Grew up in the neighborhood, and I had the very first birthday party that Dylan's ever had downstairs in your party room.
Oh my God. That's really interesting.
Right?
I love that story. I actually have kind of like the Berlin Wall. I have like the paint. I painted that room myself. Overnight we painted our stripe, and we knew one day we would expand to make the party room upstairs, and then we moved to the top floor.
Yeah.
But I was like, I really had my hand in this one, and I'm keeping a piece of this original party room. But to know that you were the first there, I should put a frame together with you and the little piece of paint that I have, the cement. That's amazing.
It's so funny. Oh, wow. Like, I don't know. It's always been such a nostalgic place for me.
Aww.
And like, taking the memories at your original flagship and then just now being able to go around the country, whether it's in East Hampton or LA or now at Hudson Yard and beyond. Like, it's just amazing to see what you've built and to have a brand that's been able to sustain itself and then thrive.
Thank you.
Not easy.
Well, I think, you know, candy is evergreen, and it's something that, you know, for the child and everyone, I really think, like, it makes people happy. And just to hear that you had, you know, your party there, like, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I really missed something that was in your flagship.
Yeah.
The staircase that would go up and down with the candy.
Yes.
What an amazing idea. Like, is that something you have in your house?
Yes.
Secretly? You do.
Yes. So I have, from our Third Avenue flagship, I have a, like, the mosaic that says Dylan's Candy Bar out of jelly beans, and some of the real candy that's in the stairs. I have these giant Lucite pieces that I intend to put in our next flagship. I'm just looking to see where that will be. But that was definitely one of my favorite aspects of that particular store. So thanks.
Yeah, that is very cool. I can't wait to see where your new flagship will land. But let's go back a little bit, and I know you've obviously told your story before, but for our readers, mm-hmm. and our listeners, why did you decide to get into the candy business besides just loving candy? Like, you actually turned your passion into a real career.
Yeah, you know, I really love candy, and I had always grown up, I've been going to, you know, the East Hampton, there was a local candy store there. If I traveled or studied abroad, whatever, it was the first destination was local candy stores to find not just candy I loved, but uniquely packaged and uniquely shaped, you know, chocolate sculptures or just things that I could collect and put on my wall, because I collect candy as if it's art. I was an art history major, and I love pop art, and especially like giant sculptures made of candy. And I started making my own art out of candy. In fact, like these Jordan almonds, I make people picture frames with Jordan almonds and like shellac them and give them as gifts. So I used to like give candy as art and collect it as art. And, you know, also just seeing Willy Wonka and loving that vibe and that set design, I had never seen a candy store like that. So when I was designing Dylan's Candy Bar, that was a major inspiration, because I saw it probably when I was 6, and I saw it thousands of times after. And I still have like a, you know, there wasn't Pinterest or any of these things around, but I have like tear sheets and pictures and Polaroids of, you know, that movie and then other Alice in Wonderland and Disney movies that it's like one day I want to create this like magical, you know, candy Disneyland-like place that, you know, brings people from everywhere, any age, too, because, you know, I knew people in all, you know, I had the 80-year-old friends and grandparents, people who love candy and just didn't matter. So it just kept evolving.
Yeah. And it is amazing. Like, when you go into one of your stores, it's, you know, the children who are excited, but then there's the parents, the grandparents. It's not an age limit thing.
Like, no.
It's for everybody.
Yeah, right? I think it's interesting because we have a nostalgia section that is both cool to like the, you know, baby boomers, but it's also cool, like, people think that like retro is in. And, you know, like this summer actually we're doing like all these nostalgic t-shirts with like who's your daddy and, you know, how many licks does it take, and they have interesting puns, but those were the ads for, you know, the original candy bars in the nostalgia section. People love that. And then you have like the sort of millennial section, which is a lot of sour that came out during that decade, and the packaging's all neon. And so like pop culture in America and the world was that. Mm-hmm. It was very candy centric to me. So seeing history through candy is something we're starting to do a lot more in our stores too.
Yeah. I'm curious because I also like grew up with parents, and so different from you, but parents were like very much in their own industry, which was mm-hmm. beauty.
Mm-hmm.
But like I never had a desire to follow their footsteps.
Yeah.
So I'm curious for you, why did you decide to not follow in your father, who's Ralph Lauren, in the fashion world, mm-hmm. and do something different?
You know, I loved watching my dad create an empire and really admired his entrepreneurship. And, you know, I really love fashion, but more about the colors and the fabric swatches. And I'm not really as into the actual clothing as I am into the design and the color and what I saw him do is build, you know, take a tie and build a lifestyle brand out of it. And my passion is candy. And when I look at candy, I see what I think he saw in fabric. I see color. I see, you know, like beautiful, you know, glitter packaging, and then one year it's tartan packaging, and then it could be gingham packaging, but I see it in candy. Mm-hmm. And a candy to me is sort of something I want to take from just eating it to making it a lifestyle and a lifestyle brand. And that's why Dylan's Candy Bar, you know, we're not just about eating the candy. We have candy clothing, candy jewelry, you know, candy stickers, candy pens, and all different lifestyle products. I mean, bags, flip-flops. We've done a lot of collaborations with major brands, too, because candy is just such a great, it's a great medium for any design. Yeah. And so to me, it is fashion. And so while I, you know, I think my dad is a genius at, you know, doing the Ralph Lauren brand, you know, I love candy, and he was a real supporter of me doing what I believed.
Have you ever collaborated with him?
Yeah, I mean, we did several things together. We've done wholesale things where we have our candy in his polo store, right. So all the colors match the polo shirts. We did our anniversary for our Sweet 16. We had a mosaic with the brand. We did romance fragrances for Valentine's Day. We put truffles in with the perfume and sold it. I mean, we've done a bunch of things. So yeah. It's been great.
It was fun watching you, you know, getting yourself ready and like to tell everybody, like, we have a stylist who, you know, works with us on our shoots, but Dylan styled herself. And I thought it was so cool that you wore your dress backwards. You felt that the zipper in the back would be more flattering on you in the front. So, like, you clearly have such an aesthetic and, like, you know yourself and what looks good on you.
Thank you. It's funny because I like a certain cut. And even my dad, you know, like, he's the master. And I'll be like, I think actually it should have been done like this, and he'll listen sometimes. You're like, you know, he's like, yeah, you have a good eye.
Does he know you wear this dress backwards?
I you know, he liked it backwards. The reason I liked it backwards, I like the halter cut more, but I also like those parts of the madra. It's like a, you know, bunch of different madra patterns stitched together, and I like those colors more than the backside. I kind of wish it was that way. But you know, even when I worked with my dad on my wedding gown, you know, I was very involved in, because I know what fit me, and like, you know, all his designers were amazing with him working on it. But you know, I would make suggestions, and you know, they really respected what I said, and really, like, you know, I think it's just growing up and watching my dad. I kind of took in, like, you know, kind of really an eye for detail. And I think that's what I like to do in Dylan's Candy Bar. I'm very involved in every detail, a little too much, but.
No, it's good to be that way. I feel like that's, you know, the key to being such a successful CEO, entrepreneur, is getting your feet wet in everything. What is the best piece of business advice that your dad taught you?
You know, he always said, go with your gut. And, you know, he knows how much I love candy. So he knew that if you love it, do it. Like, be in that industry because that's what you believe in, and you're your own customer. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that watching him, you know, any ups and downs in business, it's always like, just stick with what you believe.
Did you think when you were growing up that launching your own candy store was, you know, immediately going to be what you do, or did you have other ideas of what you wanted to be?
I knew I wanted to be some sort of leader or entrepreneur. I was very, like, into athletics. I was captain of tennis and volleyball, and I was class president. I liked organizing events, so I always used to organize events and fundraisers, and, you know, we do that actually on the side with our foundation, Dylan's Candy Barn, so, and also with parties, you know, organizing gatherings for people. But to have a setting like, you know, like a candy Willy Wonka setting was always a dream. And then that sort of evolved into, oh, why don't we have a place that's like shows candy art and, you know, food artisans and sells, you know, fashion. And then it kept evolving into Dylan's Candy Bar, which kind of has a lot of my different passions in one.
Right. And so you went to Duke, did you ever have like a 9-to-5 job before launching Dylan's?
So I, after having planned a lot of fundraisers and like organizing events in high school and college, I started a company, Dylan's Creative Events, and I was doing events not just because like I wanted to create them, but I knew a lot of people, and it was like at the era of like, you know, launching like actually Sex and the City. I did one of the first HBO things with Richard Plepler, and just gathering people and creating, you know, sets for charities and parties that had like fun invitations and fun centerpieces and, you know, goodie bags. And I kept using candy actually, and that sort of kept evolving into, you know, what Dylan's Candy Bar is, with favors and party centerpieces with candy.
Yeah, so, that's really funny. I love following Dylan's Candy Bar on Instagram. Why don't you personally have an Instagram account?
You know, it's a really good question. I think that I feel that it's so personal, you know, to share one picture that captures what the zillions of things you do in a day. I couldn't pick the picture, and to have to pick a picture or tell a story when thousands of great things happen and then maybe other things are not so great. And I just felt like it's too much work, and some of it is like no one's business. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, it's kind of like, it's just not what I'm about. You know, people who know me know what I'm up to and should know what I'm up to. I mean, obviously I understand for business it's important. But Dylan's Candy Bar and our stores are really where I want people to go in and experience them. And it's great if people take pictures and post them, and I know that's important, but I want people to really be in the moment. And yeah. I also feel like every time I'm, you know, with people and it's like, oh, let's take a picture. It's like, you're not in this moment.
Right.
And so, I don't know, something about really being in the experience that I feel strongly about. I mean, I get it, and I'm very inspired by photos and what people say, but I also don't go on social media a lot. And it's not, you know, I understand there's negative stuff and everything about it, but to me, it's like, it's kind of distracting to my own vision. Like, mm-hmm. I like to follow my own path, and maybe that's from watching my dad and my mom. Like, I have a certain vision, and I want it to be mine.
Right. So you don't just like log on to the Dylan's account and like scroll through people. That's not you.
No. And I also think, you know, like, I could do a lot more, and people have said, oh, you should do this and you should do this video and these podcasts. Like, it's fun. And I did a book and I've done that. But, you know, I feel like you know, did worry like likes and promoting it and all that. Like, my focus has to be like the actual experience of going to Dylan's Candy Bar, the website or the stores, or having, you know, our party on the go at your party and making sure your experience is great. And it's a lot of work. I mean, you got a lot on your plate, and just for me, it's like, I just have so much going on in terms of trying to find new stores and designing the fixtures and, you know, trying to make sure the company is running smooth. And, you know, there's the e-com side, and we have the photo shoots. It's another thing to take on that, you know, I don't mind behind the scenes because that's really real and kind of in motion, but it's a lot to even just go through photos for our own website. I'm picking all those pictures too with the team. Like, I'm very hands-on, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a lot.
So what's your thing then? Like, when I'm trying to fall asleep at night, that's sort of what I do, which is also a negative, because sometimes I'll see stuff that I don't want to see that makes me nervous. And I'm like, oh my God, like AI is like attacking my mind. Like, I need to get off. So like, what's your thing though? Cause that is what most people do, to just kind of sit back and relax. What do you do instead?
I don't do that at all. I actually find that I've seen a lot of people go downhill from looking at Instagram and social media. A lot of people keep saying, oh, you're so lucky you're not really doing that for your personal.
You are.
I've heard that back and forth, not even just for their own kids, but for themselves. Honestly, I like listening to podcasts, so I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
I like magazines that are inspiring, and I listen sometimes to Insight Timer or the Calm app. I like, you know, apps that have like more like techniques on, you know, whether it's entrepreneurship and being strong or following your gut or, you know, just breathing, you know, I don't know. And I work out, and I find that really therapeutic. So I love when I've had a tough workout and I'm too tired to really, you know, do that. But the other thing we were talking about is, you know, some TV that's lighthearted. Like my husband and I love watching The Bachelor and, you know, sometimes like a good show that is, I like happy shows or rom-coms yeah. or, you know, movies that I liked, you know, like from the 90s and 80s, the John Hughes movies. That to me is like, there's a good energy that I go to sleep and it sits in my subconscious that I feel is much more better for the next day and for running my business than being brought down maybe and hoping I'm not by something negative. I also used to watch the news or read up on the news. I think that's probably the worst thing you can do right before bed. I really believe like the subconscious mind needs positivity and, you know, like good things.
I totally agree with you. I think everybody could honestly take a dose of that advice because it is hard mm-hmm. and there's so much content, so much information, and it really is important to not focus on what others are doing or saying and mm-hmm. sticking true to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. What is one thing that you think others don't realize about starting your own business?
I think some people have different motives, and I think it's really important that you love what you're selling or what you're doing or you're your own customer, so you really get to love what you're doing for a long time if you plan to be in it for a long time. I think that's one part. I also think that you don't have to know everything. Like, you know, I am very creative and I have a business sense, but I think it's important to be comfortable delegating with other people and finding other people who have the strengths in areas you may not. And that's really important. Like, I'm on the creative and I brought in, you know, business people now with, like, you know, e-com and PR and all these other worlds of digital. It's like, it's intimidating, but there's always somebody. And I think it's also just learning, like, you know, in the end, if you're growing a business, you do have a family in that. And there's a lot of time in there. And there's also some people who don't, you know, always work well together. And you are kind of managing everyone's sort of happiness behind the scenes as much as trying to do what you want to do. So it starts becoming a very big responsibility. But, you know, I feel fortunate. I have a lot of great coworkers, and it's really key to have people that you really like working with, too. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. As I'm listening to you, I'm just like, you would be an amazing judge on Shark Tank.
Oh, my God.
Have you ever thought of that? Or has anyone ever approached you to do that? Because you seem like a no-brainer.
Thank you. Some of those judges have had their kids or their own birthday parties at Dylan's Candy Bar.
That's, oh my gosh.
Funny. I saw one of them at the US Open. He was saying, oh yeah. I've been a judge on like several shows, you know, like Project Runway and right. A few other things, but thank you.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
Thanks.
Do you wear brands besides Ralph Lauren?
Not really. My dad has, I guess I like what he makes. You know, he has a lot of different lines, and I like the way of mixing, matching. You know, I have a cousin who's a designer, Greg Lauren. I do like his stuff, and my friend Stacy is Allison Olivia. There's mm-hmm. a few other friends of mine that I think have pieces that I like, but my majority of my clothing is my dad's, and you know.
Why would you wear anything else, honestly? Like, the stuff is all great. Even I was at Saks the other day, and it was just so fun to see, like, the classic cable knit. And I'm probably not, you know, describing it totally correctly, but, like, he now did, like, a short sleeve one, and it was all multicolored. And I was like, it's just so amazing to see, like, how a style that's been worn for so many decades can still feel perfectly new, but, like, with a nice, I don't know, like, there's, like, soul to everything.
Yes.
It's like, you know, it's a part of, I don't know, like fashion history and like our culture. It's very fascinating, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's also because it's true to what my dad would wear. Mm. And for me, it's I could eat the clothing. It's a colorful candy and the mixed matching of colors, and I just love it.
I do love that too. I was reading something when I was just doing a little research on you, and I read something, and tell me if I'm wrong, but as of 2019, you were still an avid BlackBerry user.
Oh, yeah. See,
how does it work?
Well, that's the other thing about, you know, what you had asked me about having my own personal Instagram and all that. I mean, like, I don't love how fast technology is, you know, moving along. The BlackBerry to me was game changer. I don't think I even was in school when we were typing on computers, so I don't know how to use it. I work out a lot, and besides eating candy, I'll be on like the stair mill, and I wrote a whole book, my book, on my BlackBerry. Like, wow. I couldn't type on it, and then that went away, and I was like trying so hard to get our IT people to like make sure the BlackBerry works with the, you know, the other parts of the company. But then, you know, they had like the different techniques you could put on the iPhone and all that. But there's just a small, I like walking and doing my work. I mean, even on our Zoom calls, people are like, where are you now? Because I like having a handheld device.
Right. So now you have converted to the iPhone though. The BlackBerry's gone.
And I guess it's great. I just, you know, I'm pretty old school. I like, you know, I still have VHSs and tapes, and I can't wait for like a cassette recorder to come back. I'm like, how do you record this?
Yeah. So it's funny you say that, because we have so many home videos from my grandparents' generation, and I got married, as I said, last month, and I wanted to show my husband like what my grandparents were really like. He could see photos. He never met them. You walk into, you know, my grandparents' home, and you can feel their presence and just their vibe. But I was like, the videos are all we have left. So I spent, I swear to you, like a full night with him trying to get every VHS in my grandparents' old house to work. And we failed, but I'm now seeing that there's lots of services that you can find to convert to DVDs. But it was like nostalgic even just having the old TVs. And I agree with you. Things have changed a little too quickly.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's funny because as it relates sort of to my stores, like, you know, people are like, oh, you know, you should have these digital monitors and like, you know, make it like the experience like this. And we were one of the first retailtainment companies out there, just going into a candy store and being in awe of like the fixtures and seeing all this products. And once you start bringing in like, I think, technology, some people love it, but it takes the soul out of things. It takes like a nostalgia to me out of candy and the true like experience. It's a little like, I don't know. I know we're on this podcast and that's fine, but like once it becomes, you're talking about AI and just like something about the coloring, the lighting, the retouching, I don't know, it takes the truth out of like the living moment. And even with like, you know what, I'm glad that there is ways to capture moments and save them, but the coloring to me looks fake. Like things look fake on when things are so perfect. Like I kind of love the like graininess of old movies, or, you know, watching black and white films with my parents. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, so
I agree. There's some things that just don't have to go out of style. What would be, Dylan, your number one piece of advice to someone who wants to start their own business today?
I would say that you make sure it's something you want to do, because I think it's not a short-term thing, and, you know, really make sure you know, like, your work-life balance is really important. You know, I had a life coach at one point who always showed me, like, a pie chart, and I was like, here's your social life, your hobbies, you know, your family, your love life, you know, your health. And I was very in tune with that before opening my store, to know, like, you know, how am I going to balance all this? Because I think it's important to, you know, in terms of being successful in a lot of areas, it's hard to do everything well, but I think in order to be successful in your career, you have to have like good friends, good family, keep your exercise up, you know, keep your social friends around, like whatever it is, like I think it's a balance. And I also just, I do believe, go with your gut. There's been times where I kind of, you know, as I was saying, like, you listen to other people, you're seeing what's trending, and that's great to know. I wouldn't say, like, you know, I do look for inspirations, but if you're not like running, like I think of it as like a track race, like you've got to run down the path and not look right or left the whole time. You gotta like stay forward, because otherwise you trip. So
yeah, definitely. And as we wrap things up, I just want to highlight the Hamptons a little bit. Obviously, you are our cover star of our first issue of this summer, and it's interesting because our magazine obviously is really targeted towards people in the Hamptons, mm-hmm. but on social and everything else we do, like, we really get people from everywhere who just want to know, like, what Hamptons life is like. And some people think that the Hamptons is just this really small little, you know, area out of New York, but, like, there's so much influence, so much creativity. Yeah. It's home to some of the most successful and incredible talents. So for those who are listening and just, you know, want to know about your take on the Hamptons, mm-hmm. like, how would you describe it to someone who maybe hasn't been before?
So I love the Hamptons because in, you know, a short stretch of bike riding, which could be 20 miles, you go from Montauk Point, which is like a fishing village town, but has some cool nightlife. And, you know, then you'd go to Amagansett, which is more gardens and, you know, it's like a whole different terrain. And, you know, then you go to East Hampton, just luxury brands, and it's a little more cosmopolitan with the world's like nicest beach that's beautiful to walk on. And then, you know, you go to Bridgehampton, it's more horse country and, you know, gardens and farms, and then go to Southampton. I mean, within this stretch is so many different experiences, and there's still the local fisherman, the local artisan, you know, there's just people who grew up there who are kind of gave their, you know, generations and generations of families are still there in the potato field. So I would say it's like a place of beautiful diversity in landscape and in scenery and nature. That's such a different kind of escape from, you know, certain regions which are just one note. It's a mix. And in the winter, I've now been going there, and it's very cozy. And it's just a great, I love it. I grew up there, spending my summers there. I had two rabbits, Chocolate and Vanilla. I kept them there. Right. And, you know, I like buried them there. My whole life is like, I'm very close to, you know, to the Hamptons.
Yeah. Now I feel the same way. I just found out actually there's a bakery in Southampton called Ye Olde Bake Shop.
Ooh.
I don't know if you've been there. They've been there my entire life. And like, I'm not kidding you, it's the best cupcakes, cakes, breads. Yeah. I mean, ever. This man was just like a talent, and they just closed. They sold their business the other day. I just found out. And I'm like, one more thing to change about the Hamptons.
But
your store is still there,
and
people can get excited to go back and get some candy. Yeah. Before we conclude, I want to play a little game of rapid fire with you.
My brain better work.
Okay. No, you're good. So to start off, what is your favorite savory treat?
Candy.
Obviously. What kind of candy? What is your favorite candy of all time?
You know, it's tricky to tell you, like, I have just one because I'll say anything red and gummy, like Swedish fish and, you know, red big, you know, licorice I love, and red gumballs I love. So, you know, I'm really into that. But then I love Cadbury cream eggs, and I love the fondant in the center at Easter. I love mallow creams and candy corns at Halloween. I'm really obsessed with marshmallow fluff and our marshmallow cloud ice cream. I love angel food cake and marshmallow anything. I just love. So it's tricky, but then every now and then I'll try something new, or like a divinity, or, you know, some sort of fudge that's insane.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but
I love it all.
I love it all, but I am a gummy. I would say I'm more of a gummy person.
I know no one's asking me, but I don't know if you still have them, but you had banana gummy bears at one point, and they were the best thing I've ever had in my life.
Oh, we should still have them.
Really?
You know, it's weird. Over COVID, gummy bears took a hit. It's like one of the things in sour candy, our bestsellers. We used to have every flavor and every color, and then some brands stopped making that. So I believe that's coming back. Because it's funny you said that. We're working on a whole color story with, they actually were white, I think, or were they yellow? I'm not sure which brand.
They
was
were yellow.
Them.
The pineapple ones were white. Sorry, okay. Tom, this is embarrassing that I know.
No, it's great. Yes.
I'm obsessed like you are with gummies.
Were they the soft kinds that you like?
Soft, hard?
I definitely am going to make sure, because that's good to know.
They were so good. Okay, dresses or jeans?
Jeans.
Favorite accessory?
I love turquoise, the color turquoise. And so I'd say whether it's a concho belt that's antique or turquoise and gold sort of vacation sort of earring. Mm-hmm. I know, anything turquoise.
Yeah. Favorite Memorial Day weekend activity?
I like tandem bike riding with my husband.
Wow.
Through the Hamptons. And that's sort of a tradition. I mean, that's what I was telling you. I would not be able to go the 20, 30 miles. I forgot to mention Sag Harbor. That's like one of the shops to get like cookies and whatnot. I mean, our destinations are coffee and cookies and candy. It's like, why? You know, but just also seeing the different scenery. It's truly, I grew up knowing the back roads. Now Waze kind of kills that for us. But that's how I went on bikes.
So. Yeah. One more rapid fire question. What is your favorite thing to do with your kids in the Hamptons?
I would say I love when they come to my store because they're proud of it. And when we've done animal adoption events, the ARF Walk, or Dylan's Candy Barn has done a lot of collaborations with animal charities. They are like the spokesperson for rescue outside of our stores, making sure people know, you know, adopt and, you know, shop, and certain things go to Dylan's Candy Barn, which is our foundation. So, you know, one day I'll have them also working in the store. So I would say that. And I also like, you know, walking on the beach with them, and, you know, it's fun. It's really fun to all be together out there because that's how I grew up.
Yeah, no, me too. I totally relate to all of that. Last but not least, Dylan, what is next for you?
Oh my gosh.
That's not a rapid fire question.
What is next for me? I'm going to, after this big day of a shoot and a podcast and a few things we've done together.
She's been busy.
I've been literally talking about why do a splurge day. So whether it's, you know, ice cream at our Hudson Yard store, or there's a few favorites I have of ice cream or cookies. I've been talking to this girl over here who does our PR about, is it going to be a chewy s'mores cookie?
Ooh.
Honestly, that's what's next for me, is a treat.
Sounds like a very sweet idea. Okay, Dylan, thank you for being here with us.
Thank you. For everyone
who's watching, please go and pick up your copy if you're in the Hamptons. And if not, you'll be able to read our digital edition online. And make sure to tune in to our next installment of All the Buzz. Bye now.